Titus chapter 2 and beginning at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the admonition and the strength and power of the Word of God. God, work in our hearts today and help us as we listen to the preaching of the Word of God from this text. God, speak to our hearts. Help us to get something today that will make us better citizens, better Christians, better mothers and fathers and grandparents. And God, just make us better today. Now, Father, for that to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him this morning to help us. And Father, lastly, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that before they leave this room, they would trust Christ today. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, may I ask you a question today? Do you believe God can work miracles? Okay, you're going to see a miracle this morning. If by chance your cell phone goes off in this service and we hear it, God is going to work a miraculous connection between your cell phone and your taste buds. And so if your cell phone goes off and we hear it, God's going to kill your taste buds this morning. That's it. You're right in the middle of watermelon short strawberry shortcake season, and you don't want to be without taste buds. So make sure you have your cell phone turned off or to vibrate, please. Check that for me. I would appreciate that. Please listen very carefully this morning. Look at your Bibles today. In Titus chapter 2, we see the great verse of verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope. Now, to a Christian, we know what that is. The blessed hope is the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's why it says the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that. See, for a person that's saved and knows their Bible, they know that Jesus is coming again. He promised us that. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said, I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And for 2,000 years now, God's people have been looking for the blessed hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to consider this morning. There are about 200 prophecies that have to be fulfilled before Christ returns again. So most of them in the Old Testament. There are a few in the New Testament. Most of those prophecies, about 200, they say about 200 to 210. Those are prophecies about future events. Those are prophecies about world conditions. Those are prophecies about situations that take place in the local New Testament church. They're prophecies that must take place between nations today. They're prophecies that must take place. All these things, about 200, 210 prophecies that have to be fulfilled before Jesus returns again. They have all been completed. There is nothing left to be done for things to be prophetically lined up for Jesus Christ to return. Absolutely nothing. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, we live in the day, the time that the saved of God have been looking forward to for 2,000 years. We live in that day. We just passed an event where someone set a prediction for the return of Christ and set a date and a time in violation of Scripture, by the way. The Bible says no man knows the hour or the day. We talked about this the other day. And the fact that, first of all, if you say it's It's August the 14th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you set a date and time for Christ's return. Well, it's already August the 15th on the other side of the international dateline. I mean, it's just common sense to tell you that not only did the Bible say no man knows the hour or day, but you can't put an hour or day on it. You can't do it because August 14th today is already passed for some, is yet to come for others. You can't put a time on that. Jesus is going to come back, and believe me, His coming will affect every time zone, everybody on this planet. We know we're supposed to be looking for His appearing, however. And it tells us here, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why is it a blessed hope for the child of God, though? I was thinking about that these last couple of weeks. Why do they call it the blessed hope? Why do we consider it? Do you consider that a blessed hope this morning? Blessed in the Bible means... I'm sorry, I thought this was a Baptist church. I said, do you consider that a blessed hope this morning? All right, just checking. Do you understand this morning, dear people, blessed in the Bible is a big word. It encompasses all that is joy and happiness and anticipation and eagerness and excitement. For so many parents, the blessed hope is school starting. Now, not for the kids, but for the parents. And that's for school to start. Even if you homeschool, you're still looking forward to the blessed hope of the children being back in the routine of school and all these sort of things. But blessed, ladies and gentlemen, encompasses all the joys and happinesses of life. All of them. Blessed. Then there's the word hope in the Bible. Hope for the in the Bible is something totally different than what we understand it to mean. When we hope for something, it means we wish it happens. We think it might. Boy, I have the hope of hitting the lottery and, you know, that kind of stupidity. The truth is, for the world and for most people, hope is something that they do. But for the child of God, hope is something that we have. See, we have the hope that comes from knowing Jesus is coming again. That's not a wish so, that's a no so. It's just a matter of when. We have the hope of heaven. It's not whether or not heaven is there. God promised us that. Jesus said it's there. So we have the hope of heaven. So we have the anticipation of what we have, not what we think might be. You understand the difference? Why is the second coming of Christ a blessed hope to the believer? All right, let's look at it this morning. Number one, because of what we're going to leave behind. Look at verse number 11, please. Keep your Bibles open. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I'm ready to leave it all behind. How about you? All of it. Every bit of it. I didn't leave this morning and say, oh, I hope Jesus doesn't come back. I want to go home to my house today. That's not my house. That's not my home. I live there. That's my physical address on this planet, but that's not home to me. Oh, it's a great account of Scripture, great record in history. A couple that had served in Africa for about 50 years in serving God together. They were returning home, and they'd given their lives on the mission field in Africa. It was in the days when you traveled by ships and great ships that crossed the oceans. And while they were returning home, they had sent a wire telegram home ahead of them, letting people know they were returning home and from serving the Lord on the missions field for so many years, almost 50 years. And as they neared the harbor in New York City and they got toward the dock, they saw a great band and group of people there with banners saying, welcome home. And a band was playing and there was a great crowd of folks. And they sort of stood there on the handrail and looked out and they saw this assembly of people. And they were shocked. They thought, well, we sent a telegraph home, but we didn't think they would have this greeting for us. And they were just kind of straightened up a little bit, and they were sort of excited about it, and said, welcome home, and thank you for coming back, blah, 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 and all these things. And as soon as the ship docked, they looked down, and they saw it said, welcome home, Mr. President. Teddy Roosevelt had been to Africa on a safari, and he had returned back, and they gave speeches, and the band played, and everyone threw confetti in the air. When it was all said and done, the crowd trickled out and the old couple stood there and looked down at the empty dock, and there wasn't even anyone there to take them to the hotel or to where they were going. As they walked down the ramp from that ship, they were carrying their little pieces of luggage they had left, and the wife saw in the husband, he was disappointed. She said, what's the matter, honey? And he said, well, I mean, I wasn't expecting a band or anything, but it'd been nice if someone could have met us. And I don't know. He said, I guess I'm a little disappointed that after all this time we come home and no one's even here to say hello. And she paused and looked at him and she said, well, don't you understand? We're not home yet. You know, this life is good with God. La vida con Jesús es la buena, the Spanish-speaking people say. Life with Jesus is good. It is, isn't it? Oh, yes, it is. It's very good. I'm a very happy and very contented man. I'm very glad to be alive. All is good, ladies and gentlemen. Look, I had barbecue 3 times this week. Now, life's good on the other side of barbecue. It is. Pulled pork and ribs and coleslaw and french fries and Diet Coke that nullifies all that other stuff. I mean, life is good. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know, as at 57 years of age, I don't know as I've ever been as happy in my life right now as I've ever been, as contented, as peaceful in my heart and in my soul and in my life. I don't know. I grew up in a drunkard's home for a while as a boy, and I still remember those days, though they're long gone now under the grace of God. And I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, I pillow my head at night and I'm tired and I'm busy and there's a lot of things going on in my life, but it's good. I sit out here, Brother Matt was singing about, he still speaks. The working of God is sitting out this morning in the backyard in the early part of the day when it's cool, about 3 a.m. And I was sitting out there reading my Bible, and then a little breeze came up, and just a soft, cool breeze just sort of touched my cheek while I was reading the Word of God. And I looked up and I saw the sunlight coming through the trees, and I had some time with God this morning. It was blessed. It was blessed. But do you think for 5 seconds I wouldn't give all that up for a trumpet sound, the dead in Christ arise first, and we which are alive and remain to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord? In a second! There's nothing in this world I care about. There's nothing in this world that matters to me. My family and my loved ones, all of them, they mean so much to me. This dear church, everything, it's all wonderful. It's all good. I'm not disillusioned. I'm not unhappy. I'm not dissatisfied. Listen, you're not looking at a man today and say, well, life is no good. No, life is good. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. All the riches and the blessings and the goodness of the hand of God upon us in this present world, but I'd leave it all behind right now if the trump of God would sound. All of it. It's a blessed hope when you realize, listen, it's tough out there in this life today. It's difficult in people's lives. Not everybody's on the mountaintop. Some are in dark valleys tonight. It's not everybody's enjoying the dawn of the blessings of God. Some are in the dark midnight of trouble and trial and difficulties and reversals and setbacks. Folks are losing things today, homes and houses and futures and all the hardships of this life, wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famine and disease, the things that go on in this earth. Oh, the injustices of man brought upon mankind today. This world is a stinking mess, my friend. But we have to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. But when Jesus comes back, that stuff's gone. We can put the harness off. We can put it all aside. No more burdens, no more trials, no more troubles, no more difficulties. No more cemeteries, no more hospitals, no more jails, no more rescue missions. No more trips to the doctor. No more bad news, no more troublesome news. No more headline news where they say good evening and then spend the next 45 minutes telling you how bad an evening it really is. No more of that kind of stuff. No more elections years. Thank God for that. No more of that junk. No more of all the stuff that this world does. No more of the struggle of life to just pay the bills and put food on the table and a roof over your head and clothes on your back. But that comes from the curse of sin, because now we have to work by the sweat of our brow. Okay, fine. That's what we have to do. And God's grace is sufficient, and God's working is good, and God's help is there, and God answers prayer, and God blesses us, and God works in our lives. It's all good. It's all good. But it's all gone when Jesus comes back, and that's all right with me. How about you? See, that's a blessed hope. I was in Los Angeles this week. Even so, come Lord Jesus. What a mess. I used to live down there. We're in Long Beach. I was all over the place. 2 days, went all over the place in California. We're in Long Beach and we pull up at the restaurant, Famous Dave's restaurant. By the way, they're building one here in Redding. If you don't been to Famous Dave's, you got to get there. I've been over there every day, even though it's not going to be built till next year. I've been over there every day. Parking lot, just sitting there crying. Went down to Long Beach in the area they call the Pike now. It used to be the Queen's Pike in Long Beach. Well, I was in the 60s. We used to go up there, and they had this huge roller coaster. And you go up and ride the roller coaster at the Queens Pike in Long Beach. Now it's all these shops and all this artsy-looking junk. It used to be a great big old wooden roller coaster down there. And I hadn't been down in that part of Long Beach in a long time. We were walking around down there, and all the people milling around in the crowds and the mess and everything else. And we had a nice lunch and then went on and preached church Thursday night there and got ready and then to fight traffic to get back to the hotel and then fight traffic to get to the airport and then fight a crowd to get through there and then go to the security where they check you like you're some kind of a terrorist or something. And some poor lady got pulled aside. A bunch of people got pulled aside because they were checking them for stuff and everything else. And I thought, you know, this is a mess. It is, isn't it? I'm not going to run down the list and make you all upset this morning, but that's how it is in this present world. That's not how it's always going to be, though. Jesus is coming again. See, that's a blessed hope. Because we have to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We go to heaven, it's one big party. No, I don't believe in that kind of junk. I don't know what's the matter with people today. Why do we have to associate worldly things with holy stuff like heaven? Think we're going to heaven, it's just going to be party. No, that's not how heaven is, folks. But I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful place. It's a wonderful place. It's a place where we don't just float around the clouds with long blonde hair, playing harps and sprinkles poof of dust on people. We go to heaven, there's stuff to do. It's a beautiful place. God is there. Jesus is there. Our Heavenly Father's there. Listen now, our loved ones that are saved, gone on before us, we're going to see them again. Oh, it's a reunion place. It's a great place, this place called heaven. It's on the other side of that second coming, that blessed hope. And you know what? It's a blessed hope because we get to leave behind. All the stuff of this life that's not pleasurable, all the things of this life that are gone. Oh, by the way, when you leave this life, you leave this life behind you. So we go to heaven and I'll see Brother Evans there. First, I'll be surprised. Then secondly, I'll see Brother Evans there. And he'll look at me and I'll look at him and I'll say, remember when? I don't remember anything. I won't remember a thing about Brother Evans. And I remember everything about him now. And if you like, I'll write a book and tell you everything I know about Brother Evans. And it would be very interesting. Won't remember that. Won't remember it, Brother Evans. Won't remember a thing about you that wasn't good, right. Won't remember a thing there. He won't remember anything about me. I won't remember anything about you that's bad. Even so, come Lord Jesus. God gives us a heavenly dose of amnesia. The Bible says former things are passed away. It's gone. It's the blessed hope because of what we leave behind. It's a blessed hope. Look at verse 13 because of this reason. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessed hope because of who we get to see. We get to see streets of gold and gates of pearl and walls of jasper and the mansion he has built for me. Well, you get to see that somewhere down the road, I'm assuming. The Bible says it's there. Jesus promised that. But that's not what I want to see. You know what I want to see? First thing I want to see, I want to see him. The one the Bible's talking about. Look here. Notice what it says about him, Jesus. It doesn't say he's a great God. It says he's the great God. Do you see that? Deity of Christ. The great God. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's not Muhammad. That's not Buddha. That's not Allah. That's Jesus standing there. You hear me? That's Jesus. That's who we'll see. The trump of God sounds. The dead in Christ rise first. We rise to meet him in the air. And the first thing we see is Jesus. We'll see our loved ones eventually. We'll see all the stuff of heaven somewhere down the road. Okay, that's all well, fine, and good. But first thing is, we'll see him. And the Bible says we'll see it's a glorious appearing. Glorious. Now, there have been some things in my life that have gloriously appeared. When my brother and I lived in, my sister lived over here in Central Valley, Project City there, in a drunkard's home. My mother had married a man, my father married a man who was a bartender and a drunk. I still remember that little house. I remember the roll linoleum floor. It had a mosaic kind of a peacock in different areas, and it was all throughout the house. I remember that. I remember the house. I remember the fact that my brother and sister and I slept in the same bed. No, it wasn't in the 1800s. I had slept in the same bed. I remember I used to wet the bed. And I'd get up, change my pajamas, go around to the other side of the bed, and push them over and get on the dry side. I remember that. My brother's still in counseling about that one. Mostly I remember the fighting and the cursing and the swearing and the meanness in that house by my drunk stepfather. Then we had godly grandparents who used to come and see us and visit us. One day they decided that was enough of that. And if my mother wasn't going to be able to get her life in order, they're going to take me out of that house. Not against the will. They just went to my mom and said, look, this is not working. Let us have the kids. I still remember the times we'd go to their house, my grandparents' house, and it was like a TV show. Everything was so nice and peaceful, and they took such good care. It was like Christmas or something to us. And they just had meals, and it was a normal life, but we weren't used to that where we were growing up. And I remember the day our mom came to us and said, you can go live with your grandparents now. And I remember taking what little stuff we had in a little suitcase, one each for us. And I remember she said, they're going to come. And it was a certain time of the day. They're going to come. We live in a little house out here in the hillside, the countryside of Central Valley. Shasta Lake City now, but Central Valley. I remember the little dirt road that led from the main dirt road to our house. Now you could see somebody coming down that little dirt road for a bit of a distance. I remember as a boy sitting there on that couch with that suitcase waiting. I mean, the picture window behind us. I remember after a while when it got close to time, my brother and I turned around and knelt on our knees and looked outside that window and watched that road to see the dust coming for when the grandparents' car would come. They had one of those old Chevys with the big wings on it, brown with a white top. I remember looking out there and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I remember seeing the dust come up over those pine trees. I remember seeing that brown and white Chevy come down that little dirt road from that main road to the house. I remember the excitement in our hearts and lives, and my brother and I looking at each other saying, I can't believe it. We're going to go live with our grandparents. I can't believe we're actually going to live with our grandparents. Can you believe it? And I'm sorry to say today that as a boy in the home in which I lived, there was no remorse about leaving my mother. And there was no, I didn't hate her, but there was no remorse about what I left behind. I remember when the car pulled into the driveway, and I remember when it pulled up to the house, and I remember us running out the door, and I remember us going to the back door and throwing our suitcases in the back seat. And I remember the glorious appearing of my grandparents to come and take me out of that mess and take me to live with them. I remember what that was like. All bigger than anything Hollywood ever did. Bigger than anything the world ever put on. Bigger than any Super Bowl, NBA championship, World Series record. Bigger than the red carpet and the Oscars. Bigger than anything the world ever did was the glorious appearing of the one who had come to take me out of that mess and take me to a home where I could have some joy and happiness in my life. I'm not saying when Jesus comes back that there'll be this blazing light in the sky and everyone will look up. I don't know what it is. It isn't what happens, the event. It's the person you get to see. It's the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's looking on the face of the one we've talked to all these years. The one who the Bible says is our Savior, ladies and gentlemen. You don't see him unless he's your Savior. That doesn't come by baptism. It doesn't come by church ritual. It comes by accepting Christ as your personal Savior. The moment by faith you trust him to give you salvation, that his death on the cross is salvation from hell. His resurrection is eternal life. And you trust Christ, he is your Savior. And that's who you're going to see. You're going to see him with the thorn scars on his brow and the nail prints in his hands and his feet. I don't think God's going to make a techno light display out of the return of Christ. The Bible has nothing to say about that. It just says the trump of God. And then the dead in Christ rise. And then we which are alive and remain are caught up together. It says to meet the Lord in the air. And finally, we get to see him. Finally, we get to look on the face of the one who has given us salvation. Is he your Savior this morning? Well, I believe he is, Pastor Johnson. No, do you know that he is your Savior this morning? There's a definite event that takes place where you, as a sinner, trust Christ as your Savior, and dependence upon Christ alone to save you. You ask him to do so. That's when he becomes your Savior. Why is the second coming of Christ a blessed hope for the child of God? Because of what